Oh dear, it's been a long time since I've done this, isn't it, actually? I haven't spoken here for 6 weeks. Hooray, I hear you all saying. Yes, yeah, right. Nobody knew what to say then, did you? Eh? Yeah, there you go. That's been quite refreshing in some respects. I mean, what has really blessed me, I think this last series that we had on the letters to the book of Revelation is the series in which we've had the most amount of people taking part. You know, we had five of us taking 7 week series. And I don't know about you, that really encouraged me, and some really great stuff come out of that. So so we'll do more of that, shall we? I know you'll all be thinking, what are we paying for? But you know, do some more of that. So fantastic, I've really encouraged that. And just as well, just how I think to myself, God has blessed us really. That we're able to sort of share ministry around like that and have different people share. Isn't that really, really great? So, brilliant. Okay, so this morning, can we just get... That's it, brilliant. Okay, so this morning, in one sense, believe it or not, actually, somebody else was going to be speaking this morning, but we changed things around a little bit. So, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity, really. So, I don't know about you, but it feels to me like church has two starts in a year. You know, you have the January start, the beginning of the year, the obvious one, don't you? And we all get zipped for that. And even if you haven't got kids at school, like we haven't these days, you know, it still feels like September is a second start to the year, doesn't it? You know, you get through the summer months, August, now everybody chills out, goes flying off and travelling here, there and everywhere, you know. A.W. Tozer, who I think was a grumpy prophet, really, who's a guy who many of us would have... some of us would know his writings. One of his quotes is that the army of God is the only army that goes on holiday in the middle of battle, really. And he didn't believe that it was good to go on holiday. I'm not sure I really agree with him, really. But yeah, that's what we do, isn't it? In the summer, we all zoom off. And then it suddenly feels like we've got to get up and go again and get rebooted for the remainder part of the year. And so this morning, what I really want to do is just to reflect a little bit on some of the things that perhaps God has been saying to us this year. Then I want to think a bit about give you a little bit of a challenge, really, in terms of what I think God wants our emphasis to be going forward. And then if we have a little bit of time, if we have enough time, I just want to give a little reflection from the life of Abraham, okay? But we might not get to that, so I'm usually a little bit hopeful in terms of how much you're going to get into our time together. So let's just, you know, and it's not bad to sort of remind ourselves and think about things. You know, Peter said that, in his letter, said, I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth that you now have. So some of the things I might share this morning, you think, yeah, I've got it, you know. But it might be that it's just helpful for us to think a little bit about these things. So, let's move on, shall we? Who can tell me what that is? Envelope. An envelope. Who remembers these envelopes and what they were for and what was it about, you know? Seeds. Got it. Yeah, well done. So, beginning of this year, don't know if you remember that we had the message, didn't we? Right at the beginning of the year, I gave you some seeds. Do you remember? And it was part of the message that we had. So let's just, I want to show you a few other pictures, if you like, as well. So, next one. Oh, we know this young lady, don't we? The other week, I got a phone, a couple of weeks ago, didn't I, get a phone call. And it was a message on my answer phone, because I didn't answer it. And you put it on the answer phone, it was Paul. That's how Ruth always say that when you ring me. Paul, I'm just looking at my lovely tomatoes that are grown on that seed that I planted. And so there's Ruth with two of the tomatoes just took this week. I could have also given you some pictures of that on my birthday. Dave and May sent me a little birthday package. And in there was two tomatoes from the plant that Dave and May had planted. I think you've grown it indoors, haven't you? So is that right? So these two are the great agriculturalists amongst us here. Okay, but the thing I just want is to notice really with these two is that they planted their seeds on time. Okay, they planted their seeds when they should have, because they know what they're doing. Okay, and because of that, they sowed their seed at the right time. They sowed their tomato seed, and sowing in the right season, early, at the right time, means that you will produce the most fruit. Yeah. Next thought. That's that's a pretty grotty picture of the tomato plants that are growing in our back garden. Okay. Now, we planted our seeds, shamefully to say, a little bit late. And, you know, we moved house. And we, you know, we were busy and life's busy and we couldn't plant the seeds out. And then we moved into our new house. It was really busy. And, you know, they were in the little jam jar pot for ages. You know, Wendy's was before mine, if I'm really honest. And it was great. And then we think, oh, we must get that out, must get that out. And then eventually thought, actually, we better get this out. We won't get anything growing at all. And what that's meant is that sowing our seed has been produced some fruit, but it hasn't produced as much fruit. I don't know if you noticed, there's not many red tomatoes on there. There's loads of tomatoes on there, but they're not very red. Hopefully they will turn red and we'll do some stuff to keep them, make them produce it. But producing fruit late means that you, sowing seed late produces reduced fruit, I'd suggest to you, okay, as well. And then there's this last one, which is the seed in the packet. And the point with that one, and I wonder how many of us, I'm not asking for a show of hands here, okay, no shame here, but I wonder how many of us have still got our little packet like this. And the point is with that, the seed in there ain't going to grow any fruit at all this year. If you don't sow the seed, nothing is going to grow. That's just the law of the jungle, isn't it, really? No sowing produces no fruit. That's just the way it is. So beginning of this year, on January the 1st, do you remember I shared this message with you? And I basically sort of suggested or came up with this little phrase here. We are what we sowed yesterday, and we will be tomorrow what we sowed today. You know, you're living in what you sowed yesterday, for good or bad, actually. You know, we are the product today of what we did in the past. That's the point, isn't it? And the challenge that was put in before you was that in this 2008, how are you going to sow to grow this year? I wonder how many of us have sown things in our lives that we are currently beginning to see some fruit from. I wonder how many of us are living in aspirations of that. You know, it might be that you've sown into your walk with God and your relationship with God, and you've been reading your Bible more, maybe praying more, getting to know Him, spending a little bit more time. Maybe that has been something you've been growing. You might have been growing something in your role as a parent, spending a little bit more time with your children, making more effort to listen, maybe. Maybe in your relationship with your spouse, you've been sowing because you want to grow there. Maybe it's at work, you know, you wanted to move on up the ladder a little bit, or to get a little bit stronger at your job. And so you've been growing your information, your skill set to make that happen. Maybe it's your business. You've been wanting to expand and grow your business and you've been sowing into that. Whatever it is, I wonder how you're going in that process. Did you sow early? Is it beginning to grow? You know, are you in that process? Is that happening this year for you? And I guess alongside that, really, what I want to ask really is how is that outworking for us as a church? You remember we talked as well, didn't we, about cultivating the soil of our hearts? Because actually, where you plant the seed is really important. The quality of the earth and all that sort of stuff. We talked about that. And do you remember I showed that little video of Craig Groeschel talking about how that guy taught him how to hold his breath under the water? He thought he could hold his breath for just 30 seconds, and this guy got him up to 4 minutes. Because the guy knew what he was doing. And he, you know, his basic message to us was, you can do more than you think you can do in God. You can achieve more than you think. And so even this morning, God has been challenging us, some of us, hasn't he? About we think that it's finished there, or this is where it's not going to happen. And yet God is always stretching us. If you're a Christian here today, you are on a journey of change. Discipleship is about change. It's about moving forward. And so each one of us here in our relationship with God, whether you know him yet, whether you have just got to know him, whether you've known him for decades, God is stretching you forward. He wants something more in your life. He wants to be drawing you forward. To be a Christian is not to be a static person if you're going to outwork this relationship with God. Right, okay. So just let me move on. We probably won't get to that. So some other thoughts that just come out of this. I'm going to really milk this. you sow where you want to grow thing and this whole seed thing. But there's some other thoughts that maybe just come out of this. The reality that I just have to face is that you can't mess with the seasons. It's just the reality. You know, if you plant your tomato seed now, you won't get anything from it, okay? Unless you can grow it in the right sort of simulated environment. It's not gonna. And so sometimes there are seasons and opportunities that exist, and we have to make the most of those opportunities. If you are sensing a window of opportunity in your walk with God or in your life in some way or another, and you think to yourself, well, I better get on with it. Well, get on with it. Lovingly and caringly, I say. Okay, I don't want that to sound a little bit heavy, didn't it? But, you know, if sometimes the season is there and you have to make the most of it. And so just one reflection of that is you can't mess with the seasons. No matter what excuse I want to make, if my seed is still in the packet, oh, yeah, well, I was so busy and, you know, this happened and oh, I just couldn't get round to it. I meant to get round to it. I knew I was going to do it. And, oh, and then the kids distracted me and, oh, and it was the wife's fault and the husband's fault, whatever it may be. The bottom line is, if it didn't sow it, it ain't going to grow it. That's the point. The season is there. It has to happen. Sowing is not enough in itself. Care is needed. And reaping requires effort. In my back garden, there's some little red tomato plants, tomatoes sitting on the ground, rotting away, I'm sad to say. Because I didn't pick them when they were really ready, and they've fallen on the ground, and they're ruined. Care is needed, isn't it? And if you sow something in your life, then if we're sowing something as a church, it still have to cultivate it. You still have to get out there. You know, my ropey old tomato plant there, you see, it's got all the, what do they call them, the suckers? Is that what you call them? Where they grow out and, you know, I haven't pruned it that well and all that sort of stuff. So it's not maximized the fruit on that. So anyway, I could keep going. You're getting the point, aren't you? But this is the point I want to finish with when we're on this little bit of this, okay, is that you can't mess with the seasons, but the good news is there is always another season coming. And that's called grace. If you feel, oh, well, I've missed that opportunity, God, what am I going to do? Get ready for the next one. Get yourself prepared. Get yourself into a stronger place so when the next season comes, you are ready to invest what you need to invest, to do what you need to do, to plant what you need to plant. So don't get all sort of, oh dear, I've missed the opportunity now, and whatever it was where you felt you should have been sowing this year. There is another season coming to you, I would suggest. And if you have been really great in sowing this season and you've worked really hard, you could actually almost say that next season you want to grow more fruit, or you might actually want to change your fruit. And you can sort of dwell on that and have a little think about that. Okay, let's move on. Think about some other thoughts, shall we? So I want to think now a little bit about what has God been saying to us this year as a church. Okay. What is it that we've been hearing from God this year? I mean, actually, let me ask you. Go on, you can shout some things out to me. You don't have to. Don't make it up, all right? But what do you sense and believe that the heart of God has been? What has he been talking to us about this year? Come on, talk to me. Say some things. Nothing's wrong, okay? From the yet towards the east, Ezekiel 47. Very good. Anything else? Anybody want to add to that?
He's always with us.
He's always with us. Yep. Make the most of the opportunities on our doorstep. Make the most of the opportunities on our doorstep. Come on, it's good stuff. Sorry? Trust him with the finances. Very good. Brilliant. You've all been looking at my notes. Any more? Brilliant. Okay. So for me, I think at the heart of, I don't know where I really, when we're thinking about this sowing and reaping idea, okay, and where we want to sow to grow, I don't know if you remember at the beginning of the year, I was talking about how last year I felt that we should develop our discipleship pathways. We need to sow, we need to produce things that sow where we want to grow. And so if church is fundamentally what God's expectation for us as church is wrapped up, I think, in two things, that we are meant to grow the saints and reach the lost as a worshipping community. Okay, so we're meant to, and of those two things, I felt that we needed to develop our capacity to grow the saints, to grow one another. So we started our discipleship pathways, didn't we? Our discovering river of life, about a way of discovering, growing in our spiritual disciplines. a leadership pathway. And you know, we're moving now over the next in October, over the last 2 months, we're going to be this Bible course overview. And just those, that whole process. And so we've been sowing into those. We've made a start in some of them. We've started developing them. We'll tweak them. We'll grow them. But it will grow. Okay. Those areas will grow. And some of us have grown as we've gone in that. So as a church, I believe that we were meant to sow to grow in the area of grow the saints. Okay. Discipleship, growing as Christians. But as we've gone through this year, I do believe that God has been challenging us about being an outward-focused church. And, Steve mentioned Ezekiel 47 there, which Peter Buck, do you remember earlier in the year, came and shared, and we asked him to come and speak to us about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and he just really felt that that was a word from God from us. And the more I thought about it, the more I dwelt on that. His fundamental point was, because we weren't all around there, but was that if you study the scriptures, then the East, you know, is where people go to move away from God. In that, so the people, as the Adam and Eve are excluded from the Garden of Eden, they go east. But in Ezekiel 47, the river is flowing out from the temple to the east. And that as somebody gets further and further away, they get deeper and deeper in the water that flows from the river of God. And so in one sense, that if we want an anointing of the Holy Spirit, if we want to be anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, if we want to be empowered by God, we want to see more of this miraculous, we want to see more of his power at work, we've got to get more into our community. We've got to get more involved with people's lives. We've got to get out with this good news, this gospel we have, and share it. Get into our community and be out. And so in one sense, and then last week, do you remember Clive? I love Clive and Mary, don't you, that were with us last week? I'm just, you know, just thinking, if you saw them walking down the road, you know, just thinking normal, everyday, elderly couple, wouldn't you? You wouldn't think that they've rescued 2,100 children from almost certain death and placed most of them in families and stuff. You wouldn't think that, would you? It's amazing how God uses people. And Clive's comment to us about, you know, what do you see? How are you responding to what you see, to the opportunities of the gospel that you see around you, and the callings of God and the opportunities? What do you see and what are you doing about that? And so for me, I think the thing that we are meant to be growing, I don't know whether you agree with this, the thing that we're meant to be growing is is being an outward-focused church. Being a church that is... Now, I think we are already, if I'm honest with you, I think that we're not bad in that department. But there's levels of these things, isn't there? And we're meant to grow. We're meant to develop that. We're meant to be making more and more of that. Okay, so what's that going to look like? So in order to grow that, we've got to sow some things, haven't we? We wanted to sow in discipleship. We did some of the things. You know, there's lots of other things we could do as well, but we've sown some things. So how do we sow? So the back end of this year, I believe that God wants us to take an emphasis on this, okay, to be strong in this. And these are just some ways that we're going to try and get that stronger emphasis there, get things moving. So for instance, next Sunday morning, Alpha. Fancy doing Alpha on a Sunday morning, okay? And you might think, oh, well, you know, what's that all about? But let's take it from it just being something that a few people do, a team do in the church, to it being part of who we are. That it's about all of us wanting to allow people to explore the Christian faith, that we all capture a vision for it. You're more likely to invite somebody to it if you know what it is, aren't you? You're more likely to. So we just want to do that, really, as a way of saying, this is who we are. Let me just say this to you, okay? God deliver us from doing evangelism. If you've been a Christian and you've been around for years, you'll know that little expression and you'll know what I mean by that. You know, for many of us, somebody mentions the word evangelism and you start shaking in your boots because people have caused you to, given you this image that you have to do evangelism. Get out there, find some poor, unwitting non-Christian and bash them over the head with the Bible until they bleed, you know, and their ears bleed. And then come back and say, well, I've told them, you know, they're going to go to hell now because I've told them and they won't listen. Deliver us from that attitude and that way of doing things, really. Evangelism for me is a culture fundamentally as church, but it's about who we are. It's about that we breathe the life of Christ. We breathe the desire to want to share what we have with the God of love who has transformed our lives, that we get involved with people. And so that's just one way of doing that. We're going to start having cafe styles again. Oh, we're going to have a little series called Miracles and Mission. Steve and Henry are going to share that one with me this time. And so just thinking about how the God of heaven, the miraculous God, part of the reason for that. Miracles and, Jesus did miracles often just to draw people towards the kingdom of God. I won't start preaching the series already, but we'll start thinking about that. We're going to start having cafe style. And I know some people love them. Cafe styles are a little bit like Marmite, really, aren't they? So, some people love them, some people don't. But, you know, it's the last Sunday of every month, for the remainder of this year, we're going to do cafe style on the last Sunday of the month. And we're going to use the theme of the parables of Jesus. So we're going to tell some of Jesus' stories. I love the fact, don't you, that the greatest Bible teacher who ever walked the planet, the one who expanded the Bible better than anybody else, who was the living Word of God. To look at him was to see the very Word, was to see the living Bible told stories mainly. Isn't that great, eh? So we're just going to do some more of that, okay? And cafe style should be a good opportunity to invite your friends to church. Years ago when we started doing cafe styles, I remember there was a couple that came with they just started coming, coming towards the Lord, and they brought their young son who was about 9-10 years old, and he sat there and just said to his mum halfway through the cafe, he said, "This ain't proper church, is it?" Because they're sitting around tables. And do you know what I thought to myself, hallelujah, yes. I'm really glad that little lad got that perception. Because what does proper church look like, hey? You know, some of the religious nonsense that we sometimes ascribe to what church has to be. And so, yeah, going to do a bit more of that, okay? So just another way of trying to think, well, let's be outward focused. And Christmas, let's really pray at the moment about how do we maximise our opportunities at Christmas. The Bible doesn't demand we celebrate Christmas, does it? But actually, it's a fantastic opportunity. More people are more likely to come to our events at Christmas than they are any other time of the year. People are more likely to tolerate your faith at Christmas than they are any other time of the year. So let's really pray. How do we maximize our opportunities this Christmas and make the most of that? And I'll put it at the bottom there as well. Finish our building work. There's so many things that we could be doing. You get the cafe going again. We can get we can get some other projects and stuff going. And maybe have a community lunch. We can, just so many things we can grow and develop and maximize our opportunities in here. Get this place finished. Okay, so again, it's part of sowing where we want to grow this year, towards the end of this year. Okay, let's, what are we on to next? So, three little thoughts that I just want to share. Okay, I know this is a little bit of a reflective talk this morning, I hope that's okay, and I haven't sort of dug into exegeting a particular passage of the Bible, to use the big words. But I do just want these three thoughts, okay, perhaps as we come towards a close with this. If we want to be an outward-focused church, three things that I think I just want to bring to our thoughts this morning. First is that we have to be a people who engage. We have to be a people who are prepared, and we have to be selfless, to be Christ-like. So to be engaged, what do I mean by that? I love this little quote by Alan Hirsch, who probably is my favourite leadership author at the moment. It says, "The missionary God sends the church outward into the world and deep into culture and context." You know, it's so sad that so many Christians are frightened of being overcome by the world. And when Jesus says, "Take heart, I have overcome the world," you know, that we have the words of the Bible says be careful because bad company can corrupt good character, but we have the living power of God in us. Surely it should be for us to be taking our light into darkness so that darkness is penetrated and crushed. You know, darkness does not overcome light. Light overcomes darkness. And we have the light of the world living in us. That we are a city on a hill, the Bible tells us. And so, in one sense, if we really want to be an outward-focused church, we've got to be a church that says, you know what? We're not going to sit there and wait for people to come in. The prayer you will never hear me pray when it comes to being an outward-focused church, you will never hear me pray, "Bring them in, Lord." Because I think when God hears that prayer, he says, "Now you get off your back riding," which I nearly said, you get off your sitting position and move out. You make a difference. You do what you need to do. You get engaged. You make it happen. Get out there. And as the people of God, we've got to wrestle with the things that the world around us wrestles with. We're not called to just sit in some isolated, protected little environment where things that are happening, that are on the agenda in the world's culture, don't affect us and we don't have to wrestle with them. If you're a Christian here today, think as hard as you can think. Engage with the most difficult issues that you think you can you are capable of engaging with, and come with a Christian perspective that with that as much as you possibly can. Have words to say. Don't avoid the difficult issues of life. Engage. Get involved with people's lives. If you want somebody to become a Christian and you see they're walking through difficult moments in their life, get involved, pray with them, talk with them, love them, support them, walk their journey with them. If we don't engage, we're not an outward focused church. Alongside that, prepare. What do I mean by that? There's lots we could say with this. I could take all morning on these three things, but prepare in word. Peter tells us to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks for the reason, the hope that we have, but do this with gentleness and respect. I'm really glad he put that little bit of gentleness and respect in there. Do you know why you're a Christian here today? Could you explain your faith? Could you tell somebody why you believe in Christ? If you couldn't, well then, start the process of developing that in your life. Try and you come and talk to me. I'll help you to whatever, just to think about how you prepare. Prepare indeed. What do I mean by that? We are the light of the world. How can we, that there's things that we can be doing in our community that makes a difference. You know, it might be that you feel that you're burdened. It might be in the area of mental health. It might be in the area of divorce recovery. It might be in the area of parenting. It might be in the area of drug and alcohol abuse. It may be any of those things. It may be in debt. It may be that people are walking through difficult moments in their life because they're living in poverty. That whatever it may be, that as a church we prepare ourselves. If you feel that God is stirring you in a particular area of social action or something where we can practically engage with people, cultivate that. Cultivate it a little bit, because it might be that God's going to use you to help us to get more involved with people's lives in those areas. And preparing the Holy Spirit. We will receive power. Jesus told his disciples they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came on them to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Get anointed. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with power. If you're speaking another language, you know, speaking in tongues or whatever you want to call that, just do it a lot. Do it when you're driving in the car. Do it when you're loading the dishwasher, when you're hoovering the front room, or whatever it may be. Well, they just do it a lot. If you don't speak in tongues, that's fine. Seriously, if you haven't got that gift, then, you know, just keep drawing upon God as best as you know how. Okay, I'm resisting the urge to say a lot more. And then just this last thought. We have to be selfless. Philippians chapter 2. Let me just read this to you. Philippians chapter 2. It's an amazing, beautiful passage. And yes, I am using the Bible from the welcome table, because I didn't really forget my Bible this morning, okay? I thought I had one in the office here, and I didn't. I left it at home, so there you go. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage or to be held on to. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, what is church about for us? You know, when God wanted to bring the gospel, the good news, to the earth, he became one of us. He inconvenienced himself. He left heaven And he came and lived in a way that perhaps wouldn't have been ideal for him. And we might say, well, you know, okay, what's the point of having an alpha on a Sunday morning? I'm already a Christian. I know what that's all about. Or why should I go to, why should we have cafe styles, you know? Is there going to be enough Bible teaching for me? I hope, let's just move beyond just thinking about church as Sunday morning. Church is 24/7, isn't it? It's the whole week. It's the life that we live together as a community. And in the context and the flow of all that we do, you know, there's other things to draw upon. There's the Bible course, there's your small groups, there's other areas in which we can. And actually, if you're a Christian here and you've been a Christian for some time, Acts 2:42 says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. So in the course of teaching, you can be intentional about growing yourself in many ways as a Christian. So don't get hooked up and thinking, oh, well, you know, these are not going to be enough for me. Sometimes we have to live in that place where we are thinking about the needs of others above our own needs, but at the same time, be intentional about feeding our own needs, about growing our own needs. So there might be a sense in which you're thinking, that's not what I like, but it is what I want. There's a beautiful story of a church that was very close to closing, really. Just a handful of elderly folks that were in this church. It was a city church, and they decided what they would do is they would invest all the money they had in employing a young pastor. And so they got a younger couple to come and to lead the church, and he introduced, you know, different style of music, made the whole thing much more informal, and being City Church in particular, you know, loads of young people started turning up. It became much more chaotic, but there was lots of people coming to the Lord, and particularly younger people. And so these older folks who had employed this young guy, they asked to see him. And they said to him and his wife, they said to him, we just want you to know that we really hate what you're doing. We hate what you've done to our church, but we want you to know, please, whatever you do, don't stop, because we know it's right. And sometimes that's what we have to do. You say, well, it might not be my taste for the while, for this little season. It might not be the way I want it to be done, but if it's the right thing, I'm going to go with it. I'm going to suffer my own inconvenience. And of course, alongside that, the selflessness that flows in reaching the lost, that sometimes you just have to, you know, spend time with people, be around people that, you know, you think, well, I might not normally be around those sorts of people. Be Christ-like. Be selfless. If we want to be an outward facing church, we have to be those things. There are some reflections I would love to bring from Abraham. You okay for 2 minutes if I do the speed version of this? Let me do the speed version of this, because I do just want to wrap this up with this particular thought. Is that okay? Genesis chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my house will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. Abraham, notice it says there, after this, in the passage there. After what? Abraham had just rescued Lot from a whole coalition of kings. And his nephew Lot. And so he'd been to war with these very powerful beings, powerful kings. And then as he gets the loot the goods that he's recovered, he meets Melchizedek, who was the king of Jerusalem. And he tithes to this king, Melchizedek. Actually, Melchizedek, I've never noticed it before, actually, when I was reading this week. Melchizedek says to him, just give me the people and you can keep the money. I wonder what that was all about. I'm not quite sure, really. But Abraham says, no, that's not what's going to happen. I'm meant to give you this money. And so he gives it to him. And then after that, God says to him, don't be afraid. In other words, Abraham's just stirred up a hornet's nest, hasn't he? because of his action, he's fearful of the reprisals that's going to come his way. He's fearful of his own personal safety. He's fearful of spirit of the attacks, and we can, as we engage with the things that are with the world around us, we can be frightened of spiritual attacks. We can be frightened of what people are going to say to us and about us. We can live in fear of the things that are said around us or done to us. We can be like that. Equally, Abraham has given away a load of wealth here, and now he might think to himself, well, that might be a bit stupid. I might need that somewhere down the line. And so God says to him, don't worry about that. If you are generous, I'll be generous to you. If you give, I'll give back to you. I will be your very great reward. And so we can be like that, you know, in resourcing the vision and resourcing the kingdom. We're giving away and thinking, oh God, you know, is that foolish? You know, giving away a bit of my money here. I know you're asking me to do it, but I'm worried. And God's response is, if you're generous, I will always be generous to you. I will always. That's what the scriptures teach us, isn't it? I'll be your very great reward. And then Abraham says, well, that's all very well, but the thing I really want is to grow a family, my own family. And we can be a bit like that as well, can't we? We want to see loads of people come into our spiritual family. We want to reach the lost. And yet we're saying, well, at this moment in time, we're not seeing many. And God's response to Abraham was, listen, just it's going to happen. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep being who you are. Walk in the journey with me. And you won't be able to count the people that come from your family. You won't see them all yourself, Abraham, by the way. You'll be well and truly into your glory state by the time it all happens, but just keep doing what you're doing. And so Abraham believed God, and God was happy with that. He credited it to him as righteousness. And so from our point of view, we might be fearful of the battles we have to face. We might be worried about the finances of things. We might be thinking, will we really reach the lost? We have to be like Abraham. He says, you know, I believe that God is going to do this. I believe that God has not called us this far to not achieve all that he has called us to do. We have to keep trusting him and moving him. You know, when 20 years ago, it's nearly 20 years next year, we've been going as a church, and people say to us when we were moving to Haven, oh, well, it was tough there. You won't grow a church there. It's not going to work. You know, people have tried. But I knew that God had told us to do it. I knew. And I still know that I know that I know. God has more for us than we are currently living in. There is more that we can do. We are meant to be an outward-focused church. There is more to come here yet. God has not finished with us yet. I love that song that you started with, Steve, because that captures the heart of this, doesn't it? God has not finished with us yet. Don't let anybody tell you that he has. Don't listen to the words of the enemy. Don't let anybody tell you that God is not doing what he's doing, because that's disrespecting the work of God, isn't it? God is not finished with us yet. So you want to be an outward folk into church? You want to walk this journey with me? Let's stand together then, shall we? Can I just ask you, where you are, just to close your eyes, if that's okay, just out of respect for one another. But I feel I should just offer you the opportunity to respond in some way to this morning. Before we pray, if that's okay. I know some of us might be a little bit nervous about this, and we might feel, well, you know, what's this going to be like? Or you're worried about being not getting what you want, or not inconvenienced, or being inconvenienced, or whatever. But if this morning, you want to say to God, I want to be committed to being an outward-focused church, and to play my part in this church being like that. And I'm prepared to be inconvenienced, prepared to have to grow myself to make that happen. If that's you this morning, I just want to ask you to put your hand up briefly to God as a way of saying, God, I'm prepared to be part of that mixture. I want to do that. So, Father, thank you that you can put your hands down. That's great. Father, you've seen the responses of our hearts here this morning. Help us to walk into this now, Lord. We'll take the first step, trusting God that you will take the next with us. We love you, God. Thank you.
Sing a new song to Him who sits.